Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dane Brugler joins us on the show on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, part of the Athletic NFL Draft Scout for the Athletic. Hello there, Dane. How are we doing today?
Good morning, guys. Hard to believe we're almost 48 hours away, but the draft, it's finally draft week. And I tell you what, I love the process, but this might be the week of the draft might be the most annoying of the week, of the whole process, just because it's the noise out there, the rumors, the gossip. It's just things go crazy, things go haywire. But, you know, I guess that's part of the reason why we love it so much is the unpredictability of everything. And, you know, we're going to go into Thursday night not knowing much, and that makes it fun.
Is it kind of weird that the Browns aren't picking near the top or even have a first-round pick?
Extremely. And it's more so than just not having a high pick, but just not having to worry about, all right, who are the quarterbacks this year? And, you know, where are they going to fall? And, you know, where do we need to keep an eye on? And you look at the Browns roster, and there's no consensus top need. I mean, you could say, okay, we need to find some more help at linebacker, need to add more depth at corner, at tackle, you know, maybe use another safety. There's places where you can add depth, but, you know, John and his staff have done a great job, obviously, this offseason, kind of adding some pieces where you're going into the draft without having to having to reach for a need, having to, you know, they definitely have to go here. They can really let the board fall to them, ideally what you want. You know, not having a first round pick, picking at, you know, 49. I'd be surprised if they stick at their picks on day two. I think they might move around a little bit, but they have the chance to kind of pick and choose where they want to go. There's not, you know, one or two positions where they absolutely have to go.
I've seen some conflicting reports, Dane, on how many first round picks, first round grades, some of the pundits have. I've seen some say as few as like 15, and they're almost all on defense. What would it be for your evaluation?
I have about 20. And, you know, it can be tough. You know, a guy like Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State, you know, a lot of teams won't have him as a first-round pick with his baggage and then also with the ACL tear. But, you know, he's absolutely a first-rounder. And, you know, we have to keep in mind that a lot of teams, their draft boards are 120 to 150 players. You know, they rule out players pretty quickly if it doesn't meet certain thresholds. And that includes some guys in the first round. And so for those of us on the outside looking in who are including every player on boards and things, you know, the first round grades might be a little more. But for teams, you know, their boards are a lot more exclusive. It has to fit certain things that they're looking for culture-wise, scheme-wise. And so, you know, those boards are a little abbreviated why some teams might have, you know, 15 to 18 first-round grades and not 20 or more.
Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray?
Well, if we're talking about, you know, where the Cardinals are going to go, I think it's going to be Kyler Murray.
Where would you go?
I'd probably go with Josh Rosen. I felt better about his tape last year, feel better about his style. I think Kyler Murray has the higher ceiling if he hits. With Kyler Murray, it's just difficult when you watch his Oklahoma tape and – he's facing teams in a conference that just really don't play defense. You know, he didn't face a premier pass rusher the entire season, played behind the best offensive line in college football. And you're watching him, he has 4, 5, 6 seconds back there where he can scan the field, wait for something to come open. And, you know, he has a whip for an arm. I think he's naturally accurate. So, and the athleticism's off the charts. So there's a lot of things you really like, but when at the NFL level, when everything speeds up, and, you know, the sight lines aren't as profound as they were in college, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle for him. And how can he adjust to all the difference in speed from the Big 12 to the NFL? That's going to be a big jump. So that's why, for me, Dwayne Haskins is the top quarterback in this class. But when it's all said and done, I still feel like Kyler Murray will be the top pick to the Cardinals. A little bit of some uncertainty this week when you hear about that. But, you know, that's just kind of the nature of the process. But at the end of the day, I would be surprised if that first pick is anybody but Kyler Murray to the Cardinals.
Why are they giving Cliff Kingsbury that much power? I know that it's so, well, he's offensive guru, all this stuff and the other. I mean, don't you have to be a really top-end head coach before you're given that much power when you know the competition is going to be much greater than what he faced in the Big 12?
Well, I'll say this. If Cliff Kingsbury was the only person in that building who wanted Kyler Murray, he wouldn't be the pick. And Kyler Murray would not be the first pick overall. I mean, he has to have some help when you're talking about Kyler Murray in those discussions. And, you know, the Cardinals, their leadership structure, the owner, Bidwell, he's a big part of what they do. You know, Steve Kahn, the general manager, the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and the owner, Michael Bidwell, that trio right there is the brain trust of the Cardinals organization. And the owner has a lot of say in what they do. And you know, I mean, the owner, the Bidwell family has been owners in the NFL for a long time. They care about winning, but they also care about, you know, selling tickets, merchandise. And Kyler Murray is the type of player that can add a little bit of excitement. So that sell to the ownership about Kyler Murray being the pick, I don't think it has to be, you know, that tough to sell a guy like Kyler Murray. He's not only exciting, but he's going to put butts in the seats. He's going to put eyeballs on your football team. And with Kyler Murray, I know you drafted Josh Rosen last year, and you're not going to get the same value in a trade when you unload Josh Rosen. But at the same time, this is a team that just fired their head coach after 1 year. And, you know, if you have a chance to, in maybe in your mind, upgrade the most important position on your roster being quarterback, then you have to do it.
Dane Brugler joined us on the hotline. You can read all his draft notes and the latest over at The Athletic. So, Dwayne Haskins, I'm so curious because I'm a Buckeye fan, and, you know, a lot of Buckeye fans here in this area watching him throughout the season, and they saw mostly good. A few games where when the pocket broke down, maybe some happy feet, but nobody questions his arm strength. Nobody questions his leadership, at least I don't think. What are you hearing from some of the teams about him and why he's not a surefire number one with that size?
The main storyline in this draft, I think, will be who will be the second quarterback off the board, the third quarterback off the board, and not only who, but where do they land? You know, assuming Kyler goes one to the Cardinals, where's that second quarterback off the board, and will it be Haskins or will it be Jones or Locke? Quarterback, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You know, it's last year, if the Browns don't take Baker Mayfield number one, where does Mayfield end up going? You know, he might fall out of the top five. And, of course, hindsight, we know everyone's certainly, in Cleveland, certainly happy Baker went one. But it's something where, you know, these quarterbacks, you can poke holes in all of them. And so it just depends on what you're looking for. With Dwayne Haskins, it's mostly sample size. 14 career starts. I think that the criticisms against his, you know, with his lower body are certainly, I certainly understand them, because there are times where he's under pressure and he really struggles to navigate that muddy pocket and find those second chance throws. It's part mobility, it's part awareness. But I will say this, I think it is more experience based than talent based. So once he gets more experience, once he gets a chance to, you know, get more reps under his belt, he's going to get better in that area, because he's not a terrible athlete. He's not a great athlete, but he's not a terrible athlete. And we know, just for as him as a passer, he has natural instincts in terms of reading coverages, understanding where to throw the football. So I think he can recognize, you know, where the pressure is coming from and navigate that. It's just, it takes time. It takes, you know, a lot of practice to do something like that. So, like I said, I think it's more experience-based than anything, and that's why, for me, Dwayne Haskins is a top quarterback in this draft, but it really will be fascinating where he ends up. I think, worst case, in my opinion, I think he would fall to 15 in the Redskins. I think the Redskins would love to draft Dwayne Haskins, but is there somewhere in between 1 and 15, you know, a team that really likes him? Is there a team outside the top 15 that would trade up to go get Dwayne Haskins? That, to me, that's a wild card. Where do these quarterbacks go, specifically Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins? What order and where do they end up? That's kind of the big wild card of the first round.
Dane Brugler with us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler, Athletic NFL Draft Analyst. Austin Corbett more than likely will start week one this year at right guard for the Browns. Why do you think we've seen more and more guys, first round, second round, highly drafted guys, need to take a year to get their feet wet before they start, where just about a decade ago, a lot of these guys ended up being plug and play.
I don't know if it's anything, you know, with the recency of it. I think it's more just each player as an individual is different. And when you talk about a player like Corbett, especially, who switched positions, you know, you played a position your entire life, you know, specifically in college as a four-year starter, and then all of a sudden you're asked to move around and do some different things, and it could be tough. You know, you're talking to players in the NFL compared to what they did in college. They talk about the speed of the game and how different it is, and just, you know, what an adjustment it is. And for a player like Corbett, you know, he went to an offensive line that was, you know, there were a lot of veterans on that offensive line last year for the Browns, and so it wasn't as easy for him to just break through, or, you know, he wasn't forced to get on the field because of necessity. You know, he had the chance to kind of sit, learn, develop at his own pace, and, you know, a lot of people will jump on that and say, oh, well, he wasn't a very good pick because he's not on the field. But, you know, it's sometimes you draft players with the understanding that he might not be rookie of the year. He might not be a big contributor for us year one. And rarely is a second-round pick the difference between making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. You know, that's why you draft not for immediate need, but you draft for the long term. You draft the best players in the first few rounds because you just never know when – you know, your needs in April are going to change from your needs in August, September. So, you know, that's why you always draft the best player according to your board. You don't reach for need in the first few rounds. You know, don't take players that, you know, don't really fit. And I think Austin Corbett is proof of that. I think he'll earn a starting job this year, and I think he'll be just fine. It just took a little bit longer for him.
What do you think of Nick Bosa and some of the social media stuff, what he talked about having to take post down because – of the potential to be drafted by the 49ers, does this stuff mean anything? Are any NFL teams worried about his place in a locker room or within an organization or within a community?
No. I mean, welcome to 2019, you know. It's just that those are the conversations we're having, which is kind of bizarre. But I cannot imagine where any team would not draft Nick Bosa because of anything like that on social media. And, you know, it's... But political opinions are, you know, not for everybody. And, you know, there's a reason I try to stay away from it on Twitter, you know, on social media. And, you know, a lot of people try to stay away from it because it's just, it's not worth the headache because you're not going to, there's always going to be someone that disagrees with you. And, you know, what's the point? And so I think Nick Bosa is finding that out now. And he's still a young player. He's 21 and a half years old. So, you know, he's finding his way. And that's, you know, if there's nothing wrong with being steadfast about your beliefs and, you know, when it comes to different political opinions, but at the same time, if it's not worth the headache, then it's better off just staying away from it. And that's something that I think Nick's finding out right now. But no, I would be shocked if he fell out of the first three picks. I think Kyler Murray won. Number two, I think the San Francisco 49ers will go Nick Bosa, but at the worst case, he would go third to the Jets. So we're not going to see him fall at all.
Quickly, I mean less than a minute, what's the worst decision the Browns have made in the draft since 1999?
Oh, goodness. Justin Gilbert, that's pretty easy, I think. That was such a talent-rich draft. Could have drafted Odell Beckham. There's so many players in that draft back in 2014. And, you know, they traded away from Sammy Watkins and Jake Matthews, traded back. And they had a choice of could have gone a lot of different directions, and they went with Justin Gilbert. And Justin Gilbert wasn't a first rounder then; he wasn't a first rounder now. That obviously stands out as one of the worst blunders of the last 20 years. But you know, unfortunately, it happened. But you know, they're better off now for it.
Dane, we thank you very much for the time. All the best, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
The great Dane Brugler. Find his draft guide. It's one of the best. I mean, it's like 400 pages. It's amazing. Find it on his Twitter account, at DP Brugler, also from The Athletic, NFL draft writer for The Athletic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.